Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we have reports and some great tips for you from fishing guide Tom Leahy. And then again, we talk with our local DNR fisheries biologist, Max Walter. And then lastly, we talk muskies with pro angler Pete Mena. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Big news, Hayward Power Sports is your new shore station dock system dealer. Some homes have curb appeal, but does your lake home or cabin have shore appeal? Since 1959, Shore Station has crafted docks designed to be your summer fun center. They're constructed with high quality aluminum and a durable powder coat color finish on their gorgeous harbor gray planking and slate gray sideboards. What's more, their modular design allows for endless configurations. Our Hayward Power Sports team can even pair your dock with an industry-favorite vertical boat lift from Lakeside Products. Yes, the Shore Station engineers kept it simple with accessories that mount quickly and easily without tools. Sections lock together with a simple spring-loaded pin mechanism, and leg height can be adjusted without tools. Plus, the quick-as-a-click dock accessories range from ladders and bumpers to gear towers, benches, seats, and more. Not only do Shore Station docks look great, their A-frame stance provides superior level of stability and safety. Check out your new Shore Station dealer, Hayward Power Sports, today, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in Northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu. And while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward.
Recording this week's show with fishing guide Tom Leahy. And Tom, I know you've been out a little bit on the water. What have you been seeing or hearing out there as far as the fishing lately?
Yeah, John, I've been out quite a bit, actually, and fishing for a little bit of everything. It's been pretty decent as far as some walleye action, multi-species, crappies, you name it. Been up and down, depending on cold fronts and rain and all that good stuff. So
we've had some crazy weather going through. I mean, it's just it's warm one day, colder heck the other day, and you know, it just a few degrees temperature drop really seems to affect those fish.
Exactly, and I noticed too. Yeah, you get a little rain, and yeah, that water temperature goes right down too. So
I don't know if the crappies are going to get a good spawn this year. I mean, there have been some in and some out, and, you know, usually when we get a year like this, a lot of times the crappies don't pull off a real good year class.
Yeah, that could be. I've been seeing crappie action going as far as, you know, they're staging the spawn. They still got spawn in them to crappies in the wood and a couple feet of water.
Yeah, same thing I've been seeing, too. You got to hunt around and you can find some, but it's all keys on the water temperature. You got to watch that water temperature. As far as the walleyes, for you, have been live bait bite, or have you been doing some on crankbaits?
Yeah, a little bit of both, John. It seems like, the last week or week and a half, I've been getting on, as far as live baits, some slip bobbers with some suckers, walleye suckers. Otherwise, fatheads, that sort of thing, light bait wise, and jigging, of course. And then, I've been getting a few, you know, casting some small plastics, crankbaits. Kind of depends on the day. You get a little partial sun, a little wind, it seems like, you know, they'll go after the crankbait better, or evening presentation, that sort of thing. Depends on the lake as well.
I know you mentioned sucker minnows, and that's something a lot of people don't use this early in the year. It's mostly fathead minnows, but it seems like when you got a little bit bigger bait out there, sometimes you get a little bit better fish.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, and I know, a few going back even further to opener. You know, I was throwing out some of them walleye size, and even some of the northern size suckers on a fluorocarbon type rig, and yeah, kind of picking them up in that shallow water. However, when you're doing that, you're going after some bigger fish too, like northerns. They love that, and bass too. But yeah, it ends up producing some nicer sized walleyes. So.
You know, some of the walleyes have been up shallow, too, on some lakes, on like a triple flowage. But even on the big lakes, I think they're still in the weeds for the most part. There's always going to be some out deep, though.
I think so. I've been getting them, you know, some of the deeper stuff, you know, sunken bogs, you know, like the flowage. As far as Clearwater Lakes, points where there's weeds starting to grow, you know, wind blowing, that sort of thing. I have a feeling, yeah, I'll probably be switching, and I know some other guides too have been using the leech bite, and as far as weedy walleyes or doing your typical points, bars, that sort of thing, I would suspect the leech bite should be good. It's just a matter of finding leeches. They get sold out half the time pretty quick, so.
It seems like the trappers are having trouble getting leeches with these colder spring issues because there just isn't a big supply out there sometimes.
Exactly. Yeah, I actually picked up some leeches today at Hayward Bait and talked to Kenny, one of the longtime staff there, and he said they were having a hard time. So.
Yeah, yeah. Northern pike, you mentioned that earlier. I know you've been out doing some northern fishing. Actually, you fished that northern pike tournament on a Chippewa flowage too, didn't you?
Yeah, we ended up fishing that, me and a good friend. And, yeah, we ended up getting lucky and winning. And, however, you know, a tournament like that, the water was still cold, so it didn't pay to cast. Right now, it could be different. Yeah, you'll probably pick up some pike casting, but that, you know, that early time period, yeah, we were using a lot of northern walleye suckers on a bobber, and they were shallow, but it was kind of cool too. You know, you end up picking up walleyes, bass, you even catch a muskie doing that sort of thing. So
I don't know about luck because you've won that thing several times.
Yep. Oh no, it's always a good time and all that. So.
Yeah, what do you think we're going to be looking at coming up here? I mean, if this weather starts to stabilize, what do you expect we're going to start seeing pick up more consistency on the fishing or what?
I would think so. I mean, you have to keep in mind that it seems like, well, any lake you go, water's high right now. So, and it seems like it's staying. You know, warms up, then it cools down. It might slow some weed growth too, that sort of thing. But I suspect it'll stabilize and we'll be looking into a fairly consistent June bite. So.
I know you said the water's a little high. I know one of my friends went up into Canada to help set up a couple of camps up there, and he said up there the water's like 4 feet high. They got some really serious high water conditions.
And International Falls, I think I heard that, yeah, they were having real high water, and they had a late spring, just like we had, so the ice kind of went out all of a sudden, and yeah, crazy.
Yeah, you know, around here, we've had some pretty unstable weather, but we can be thankful we're not over in northern Minnesota, because they've gotten it even worse over there, it seems like.
No doubt. It's an extreme. Last year, it was an extreme drought for them. This year, opposite so far.
You know, and the fishing coming up, I mean, the muskie fishing, that's been a little slow from what I've been hearing. You know, but the temperatures really aren't there for good, consistent muskie action right now yet.
No, I think looking back to last year, I did some muskie fishing on the muskie opener, which was May 28th. And I think we caught a couple little ones, smaller, medium-sized muskies, 30, 35 inches, whatever. And we were throwing some suex, kind of smaller suex, jerking, twitch and jerk, and on some smaller bucktails. It seems like I did do a little musky fishing this past weekend. I have yet to catch a musky. A lot of times you get them on live bait, maybe, or jig in or in a bobber or something like that. Yeah, it seems like they're pretty slow. I know I was at Treelands Resort on the Flowage a couple days ago, and I was talking to Tyler, and he said there was one hanging out by the dock when they were doing some repairs and stuff. It was a good mid-size 40-some incher. It was in 2-3 feet of water, just hanging out. Maybe it was still spawning yet, so.
Well, interesting. A good amount of information there, Tom. If anybody's looking to get a hold of you for a guide service, how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, John, I'm available at 715-558-6755 or TomLeahyGuideService.com.
Thanks a lot for taking the time here to give us an up-to-date fishing report, Tom.
All right. Thank you, John.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take a break right now and hear from some of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. When we come back, we talk again with our local DNR fisheries biologist, Max Walter, about more of the survey work they did this spring. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages.
Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one stop for the Hayward area's largest selection of rods, reels, lures, fishing electronics, boating supplies, and they've now expanded their selection of soft plastic bass and walleye baits. No matter what you're fishing for, at Hayward Bait and Bottle, you'll find everything you'll need for a successful season. And while you're there, in their bottle shop, you'll find a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. And also don't forget, now they carry Shoremaster docks, lifts, and accessories at Hayward Bait and Bottle.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Hayward Power Sports actually has Lunt fishing boats in stock and available for sale. I know, in today's world, it's unheard of, but we have a limited number of 2022 Lunts, all rigged and ready for the water with Mercury outboards. From the 1650 Rebel to the 1875 Pro V Bass, they'll all go fast. Built by fishermen for fishermen, Lunts feature boating's best warranty with 3 years of bow to stern and lifetime hull coverage, and no boat holds its value better. Get your Lund at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors, and this part of the show is brought to you by the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau. For more information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out their website at haywardlakes.com. Well, folks, you know, last week we talked with our local DNR fisheries biologist, Max Walter, about some of the survey work they did this spring on our lakes. We're back again this week with even more from Max about what they found on Lac Da Ray when it comes to muskies.
Max, good to have you on the show here. Anything else that you found out there in other lakes or anything?
Yeah, our last stop for our netting tour was Lac Da Ray, and we were able to get in there during the muskie spawn. That was kind of our main target. And it was really, some years the spawn is like a very distinct peak, and there's like a 3 to 4 day span when all the muskies are spawning and you're catching lots of them. What we saw this year, at least on the Lac Da Ray, was a lot more of a trickle. We had spawning fish coming in almost every day throughout the span of a whole week. Pairs, one female, one male, sometimes one female, two males, but we didn't have nets that were loaded with lots of fish. A few nice-sized fish, but the real takeaway for us was that we have a very successful stock year class coming up there. Lots of fish from 2017. These are all fish that we stocked out of Governor Thompson. They had a pit tag when they're stocked, so we know exactly where they came from. And that's looking like, one of the most successful stock year classes we have in the area, and certainly the most successful one we've had in the Lac Da Ray for a long time. So it's really exciting to see some younger muskies coming up. They're now at the age where both the males and females are starting to spawn on their own and hopefully start to produce some more natural muskies out there. That would be great. It'll probably always be kind of a combined stocked, naturally reproducing fishery, but the more natural reproduction we have, the more successful that lake will be, and hopefully we can kind of turn it back into a muskie fishing destination again, because the abundance has been pretty low for quite a while until recently.
You bet. Well, you know, you mentioned that pit tagging stuff, and you've got a lot of lakes up here where muskies are implanted with those little pit tags, and is that proven to be pretty beneficial to you as far as the information you get back?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, basically my whole previous statement there about that successful stocking LCO, I can feel really confident saying that because we did that pit tagging. And so, you know, I don't have to guess, oh, you know, this one looks like it's probably a hatchery fish, but I don't know for sure. I can say for sure this is a hatchery fish. This is the date it was stocked. This is the length it was stocked at. This is the boat landing we stocked it in at. And then we can get an estimate of how many of those survived. And we can say, you know, this percent from that stocking survived. That was a good stocking, and we should do more like that. So, you know, really success, really, really valuable just from that standpoint. But then we also get data on growth rates, how fish are moving about from one lake to another within our area, all sorts of really valuable stuff. But yeah, we really still believe in that project. We really appreciate having Muskies Inc. as a local partner that supported us in that and spent a lot of their money to help tag and recapture fish. And we've put out over 30,000 pit tags in muskies just in Sawyer County. So now we're kind of shifting from, you know, instead of focusing on putting those tags out, we want to go out and recapture these muskies and get all this data. It's kind of, you know, cashing in on our tagging investment at this point.
Well, you've also had some other help from a handful of guides that have been putting in tags too, from what I understand. And then also information fed back by people out there, guides and Muskies Inc. people that have scanners, to be able to, when they catch a fish, be able to scan it and, you know, record some information for you.
Yes, that's been awesome supplemental data. So we have, like you said, a handful of folks in the area that have their own scanners. So when they catch a muskie, they can check for that tag for us. And we have been getting a really nice amount of data from them. It's really a nice complement to what we're doing, because they're catching fish at different times of the year. Sometimes they're catching fish in areas that we don't really go into survey, especially rivers. So it's really been a great partnership, and you know, they're generating, you know, a usable amount of data at this point with the number of people we have out there and the number of tags that they could be looking for, and Muskies Inc. supporting that, getting more readers into people's hands. So it's very cool, and it's fun to have people involved in that management. When they catch a fish, you know, they can email me the number or text me or whatever, and then I will tell them everything you know about that fish.
Yeah.
I think that makes it fun on their end.
Have you seen, as far as the muskie fishing in the area here, you seen a whole lot of changes in individual lakes with populations going up or down or anything? Are we pretty good shape right now?
Yeah, there's definitely some that are, you know, experiencing changes, and it's a mixed bag. You know, I talked about Lacoute Array, and we're seeing the population starting to increase there, which is great. We had a very successful stocking in Lost Land a few years ago. We still have some good naturally reproducing populations in places like Ghost. We saw plenty of muskies, and we were out on moose doing our crappie netting. But then we have some where, yeah, we are seeing some changes because of a number of factors, but one of the biggest ones is, you know, introduced pike populations. We talked to folks on the tiger calf lodge. They're not seeing nearly as many muskies as they used to. Our survey efforts are seeing that same thing. We're not catching as many in nets as we used to, so that's one that's trending in the wrong direction, and we're taking some steps now to try to address that and turn it around. Spider Lake, maybe another one that we have a little more concern about. So, yeah, you know, there's issues out there in the landscape for muskies, but there are a lot of fish.
It seems like the more clear the water in that lake, if it gets pike in it, the more advantage the pike have over the muskies, it seems like.
Yes, 100%. Yep. Yeah. That's definitely the pattern we see. If it's a darker water lake, the pike can get in there, they'll be around, but you know, they're not going to totally displace the muskies. If you have a really clear water lake, pike tend to thrive, reproduce very successfully, and start to kind of elbow out the muskies for the prime habitat areas. And that's certainly the case on tiger cat.
You make a few hybrids in those dark water lakes. We got one the other day walleye fishing about 24 inches, 26 inches, a little tiger muskie. But I can't figure out why we're not seeing some of the bigger ones showing up. It just, I don't know if they get ate by the muskies out there because they just a little more vulnerable or what happens. I think that's what happens to a lot of pike in those dark water lakes, is they become food for muskies.
Yeah, I think there's a pretty good chance of that. Muskies we see as a little bit better dark water predator, a little more efficient in some of their senses that aren't just visual, whereas pike may rely a little bit more on eyesight. So when you get into a dark water lake like Moose or Blaisdell would be another one, Teal Lake, they're there, but they're not really thriving in the sense that they are in some of these other clear lakes.
I wonder if the tigers hybrids, if they are kind of a mix on the sight fishing and able to sound feed a little bit more, that'd be an interesting question.
It is an interesting question, yeah. I wonder if we have the answer to that. There's been a fair amount of research into tigers, but we still learn new things about all these fish as time goes on.
Well, Max, it's been a pleasure talking to you here. Very interesting for the show here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and good luck to everybody who's getting out there fishing.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take yet another break and hear from even more of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. When we come back, we'll be talking muskies with pro angler Pete Mayna. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Are you in need of marine service? If so, call Earl's Marine, located on County K between the Big Lakes. Earl's Marine is a local Johnson Avenue authorized sales and service representative. Need a boat lift? Earl's Marine handles shore station. Need a boat or a pontoon for a few days? Just call for rental information. Since 1966, Earl's Marine has provided outstanding marine service to this area. For outstanding service, open 7 days a week for sales, and they have live bait, tackle, and fishing licenses too. Call Earl's Marine today at 715-634-4783.
This year, Dr. Ostrander and his staff at Hayward Animal Hospital will be celebrating 30 years. They thank you for your patronage. Hayward Animal Hospital continues to accept new clients and offers urgent care appointments daily. For same-day urgent care or emergency surgery, make sure you call early in the day as appointments fill rapidly. They open at 8 a.m. Hayward Animal Hospital is located 1 mile east of Hayward on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control, a day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And folks, you know, with the muskie season well underway now, I had a chance to talk to pro angler Pete Mayna about muskie fishing and a lot more. We're talking to pro muskie fisherman Pete Mayna, and you know, we've seen some really good stuff years ago when we got into catch and release on not just muskies but other fish. But I've seen over the last probably 10 years, maybe we're going the wrong direction, I think, out there, because now I see, you know, we've got some of the lakes that have got so much pressure, they've got knocked down, but the fish also get smart from being caught and released because they get pounded to death. But you know, it seems like everybody's got to measure a fish down to the quarter of an inch, and they got to plop it in the boat. They got to have 18 million pictures, and I wonder if we're not losing a bunch of fish that way.
Well, there's no doubt about it. I mean, nobody, you know, could possibly really say for sure what percentage or whatever of fish we lose. It's obviously much more significant in the warmer water period where the fish are more susceptible to the delayed mortality through overhandling in the high heat period. But that is true. I literally, and frankly, I never thought I'd see it, but because we'd seem like we were progressing with handling, and then basically we've gone backwards. And unfortunately, I think that it's simply social media. If I could point to one single factor, it's for whatever reason, the whole idea of posting pictures and knowing the exact size and announcing it on social media is a deal. Oh, yeah. And it's just, it's gotten to the point where a lot of people feel like they're, and unfortunately, to a certain extent, guys that are doing the right thing are getting blasted on social media when they don't know exactly how long the fish. People start at, well, how big was it? And, oh, I don't know, I didn't measure it, or I got close, or whatever. What, you know, and there's some people that will literally say, well, if you don't put it on a bump board, you don't know how long it was. Well, a bump board in the boat is not good for the fish. It might right. be good for your ego. It might be good for knowing exactly on social media. But that is literally the trend that needs to turn around the other way. And I would emphasize, especially so in the warm water period, I really believe that, you know, spring, fall, at water temps in the 60s and below, it, you know, the time out of the water is much less critical. But in the warmer water temps, this trend of people feeling like they have to in-boat measure to precise accuracy every muskie they take is killing a certain percentage. I mean, I would guess 10 to 20% of the fish. And if you look at some of these lakes, like you mentioned, John, that have been, you know, well, basically the quality of fishing has gone down significantly. Yes, they get smarter. But the most profound thing that'll keep you from catching fish is fewer of them being in there. And in a lot of cases, you can see the ones where the fish decline of muskie captures is directly related to a lot of pressure in the summer months a couple years prior. You know, can see those correlations.
You bet. Well, like I went to years ago, I don't carry a bump board. I carry a floating ruler. And right. if you catch a muskie in my boat, if you're the one that's holding it, you hold it up. Want a quick picture? I just slap that ruler up. Says, how big is it? Well, it's pretty close to that. You know, it's at least 45 inches, or at least 46. And then it goes back in the water right away. And yeah, that way it never gets moved. Once you get a grip, I mean, I don't even like to let go of a fish myself. I got, especially if it's an unruly fish, because you hand off the fish, it winds up on the floor, it gets damaged and everything else. So, you know, it's just an all in handling. I remember one of my friends caught a 47-incher with me up here a couple, two, 3 years ago, and I had a camera running at that time in the boat, and it was 36 seconds from the time it came out of the net picture and back in the water again, you know. So that's really the ideal situation. You should have just a matter of a few seconds and it goes back in.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And I would, for the people listening out there right now, I would say that try and come to the idea that measuring isn't really necessary. When you start doing it, you'll actually realize you won't miss it. And a floating ruler measurement is easy to get. Obviously, the fish is safer. You can't drop it there. It might not be easy to get the most accurate measurement, but you know, the fish is safe, it can still breathe, and you're going to get within an inch very easily. And frankly, you're letting that fish go. I actually would argue there's way too much emphasis on the size period too. Everybody's got to catch a 59 or a 50 incher. I like 49 inchers. I think they're great. I'll take a fat 49 any day over a skinny 51. I don't, you know, but the point being, don't put too much emphasis on the exact length. And all of us, frankly, are going to be a lot better off, you know, fisheries wise, quality wise. Your kids are, everybody is, because more of your fish are going to survive.
Yeah. You know, just like when I use a floating ruler, the fish is always sagging down in the middle and everything else, especially if it's a 40 some inch fish. I mean, you're not getting an absolute accurate measurement, but it's almost always longer than what you measure because it's banged down in the middle and everything else. So you tell them, well, it's at least that big. And so, you know, if they want to, you know, embellish it another inch or so, that's up to them, you know, but they for sure caught a fish that big.
Yeah, and actually, I would certainly encourage people who like to embellish and lie and whatever, do it. Just don't overhandle the fish. You can call a 43 or 47 if you want all day. I think that's great. Just don't take them out of the water and bounce them around the boat. Oh, man.
Well, some good information there, Pete. We got enough there. We're going to talk about fishing again here once we get in the summer. Maybe we can get a chance to get the fishing together. We just don't get out anymore like we used to,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, let's do it, John.
Okay, thanks. Well, folks, you know, we're about out of time for this week's show. I'd like to remind everyone out there that if you miss a show, go to our website at wnoradio.net. From there, you can link to our podcast site, and the show is also on Spotify and Google Podcasts every week.
And also, if you're looking for information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau website at haywardlakes.com. Thanks for listening, folks. We're out of time, and we'll be back again next week with another interesting show for you.
Listen with me. I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.